Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. Last week, we looked at how God is sending us to our families. And families are some of the hardest people to talk about God with. And that's because they know you. They know the good, they know the bad, and they know the ugly. But they're also comfortable with you. They say, well, this is just my brother or sister, or this is my nephew, or that's just my child. And it puts this weird barrier on trying to share the good news of Jesus. And the craziest part is Jesus went through the exact same thing. His own siblings did not believe he was the Messiah. And they went as far to even say, well, that's Jesus. He's a little crazy. So what can we do to share the truth about God and Jesus with our families? Obviously, we should talk about it. But what speaks louder than words is our actions. That we have to live for him. The decisions that we make on the daily need to be the light in this world, meaning that God should be shining through us, through our lives, so others can see and go, God is real and God is good. We need to become this beacon of who God is and to point people to what God has done. We may never get to see our family accept God, but when we follow God with our lives, our Heavenly Father, he is pleased with us because we are being the example to our family. This week, we're going to be talking about God, send me to my friends. So there's a really big difference between family and friends. I know friends can feel like family because of the connections that you make with them, but there are different levels of friendship. Some people are those friends who are more like acquaintances. They are people that you like to be around, and you may be in some of the same circles. You may have some cordial talks with them, but this is not a person that you seek out to talk to when life happens, when things get hard. But then you have your close friends that you want to be around each other. You share some of the same interests. They know pieces of your life, and they know pieces of yours, and you just go back and forth. But these are people that you're going to reminisce about later and go, man, we had some really, really good times. But then you have those friends you feel almost completely bonded to. You share everything that's happening in your life. They know the amazing things, they know the horrible things, and you still choose to be with each other. And that's the person that plays an amazing role in your life, that when you fall down, they'll help pick you up. They also will be the ones that can confidently say, this one has my back. And they also know that it goes the other way. It's a mutual love and respect that you have for one another. And this intense bond that happens, it happens because of a choice. With family, it's not usually a choice. Now, some of us want to say, man, if you weren't family, I would choose differently. But the thing comes down to it with friends, it's who you choose to be around. So it's very different. What is truly amazing, though, is that Jesus, he wants to be your friend. And we're going to look at what Jesus says in John 15, 1 through 17. John 15, 1 through 17. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I am using, we have some in the rows and a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. John 15 starts on page 737. In the Bibles that are provided. We're going to read through all of 1 through 17. I know it's a big chunk of verses, but then we're going to talk about what's being said. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. So Jesus starts us off with explaining who he is. He says, I am the true vine. He is saying he's the ultimate source of life. In another verse, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. This is just another telling of this for people to understand. He is the one that gives life. He is the one that will make you grow. He is the one that will make you bear fruit. And it's not like apples are going to grow out of your head, right? It's not about actual fruit happening, but the fruit of the Spirit that comes from God. That's what he is growing inside of us. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? It is things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. What's happening is God will provide you the strength and grow these inside of you. And Jesus makes it very clear in verse 5, if you remain in me, if you remain close to me, if you know who I am and you follow me, you will have a lot of this fruit. But when you decide to not follow Jesus, when you are not being a friend of his, it flat out says you can do nothing. That can hit so hard because we want to be good. We want to do good. We want to be godly. We want to have these godly attributes in our lives. And right here, Jesus is saying, if you want to live a truly godly life, you have to know me. He says, walk with me, talk with me, because Jesus will be the one that has that fruit growing. It's not about us being good enough. It all comes from him. Now, verse 7 can be a little confusing because we think, great, I know Jesus. That means I can ask for whatever I want and he's going to give it to me. And I'm going to say, technically, yes, but also technically, no. And you may say, well, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. And this is why. I don't want to get too deep into this, but it comes down to this. When your heart is to be a humble servant of God, that you're going to do nothing apart from him and his will, he will give you anything you ask because it's perfectly in line with God's plan. You were saying, I know your way is better. I know your truth is better. I know that your plans are better than mine, and I will ask for nothing outside of your will. And when we ask for those things in his will, of course he will give it to us. It's not about our own selfish wants and desires. When we start to ask for ourselves, that's when we do not see the things that we want to see. And that's because it's not in God's plan. We have to go to him and follow him alone. Then we get this part, though, that just hits so awesome. Personally, this is the one that I was like, this blew my mind, even though I already knew it. And that's verse 9. It says, just as God the Father loves his Son, Jesus. It says, this is the way that Jesus loves you. I sit back and go, what? You're telling me this imperfect person, this person that has faults, mistakes, that wants his own wants, you love me as much as God the Father loves his perfect Son? That is insane and amazing. And it shows us that we're not acquaintances. That's not the type of friend. We're not just a close friend to Jesus. This is a life long bonded friend. You know one another personally. You share everything with each other. When you read about Jesus, we know that he has hidden nothing from us. He is always open. He is always honest. He shared his heart and his love with us completely. But there's a question. We know that he's our friend. Are we going to share back with him? Are we going to be that close bonded friend from this side? Or is it a one-sided thing that Jesus is giving his all and we're saying, yeah, I like you and everything, but I'm going to go do my own thing. But it doesn't just stop there. Verse 12, after Jesus is our friend, it says, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. And if you do what I command, I'm no longer going to call you servants, but I'm going to call you friends because I've shared everything the Father has shown me. This is so heavy because instantly we think, okay, I have to die for my friends. And we just think about this physical death. And yes, we know that Jesus truly laid his life down on the cross for us. That's everything we talked about with communion. It's right there. He gave his all for us. And yeah, to sacrifice your whole life truly shows that you have love for that other person. But Jesus says to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then he follows it up with, you are my friends if you follow what I command. It's not just doing the physical sacrifice of death, but it is the death of selfishness, the death of making it all about me. Now, I know we all have friends like that, where it seems very one-sided. They want to share with you all their troubles. They come to you and say, can you believe this happened? I need you to love me. I need you to comfort me. And you are there for them. And then all of a sudden it turns around and life is beating you down and you're feeling stressed. And you say, hey, can I talk to you about what's going on? And they're like, yeah, I got too much going on in my life. I can't right now. Or what happens is they say, I really need help. I'm in a bind and I need you to pick me up or I need some money or I'm not really sure what to do. Can you help me out? And as a friend, you sit back and go, yeah, whatever I can do to help you. But when life then hits you hard, they seem to disappear. Jesus is saying you cannot truly have a deep friendship without pushing your life aside to be there for others. You think that you're busy? You think you have stress? Come on, Jesus did not have the easiest time when he was here. He had a lot of things to deal with. He was exhausted from helping people all day. He was completely mobbed by masses of people demanding things from him. And then after he spent all day doing ministry, what would he do? He'd say, I don't want to talk to you disciples. Walk away from me. No, he did the opposite. He brought his friends, he brought his 12 followers and others and said, now it's time for us to connect and talk with each other and love one another and teach one another. Jesus pushed aside and said, I am tired, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to love you. When it comes to our friendships, whether people are followers of Christ or not, we are told to love them just as Jesus loves us. Do not be too busy to spend time with one another, but to lift up one another. Now, it's an amazing thing that the Son of God wants to be our best friend. With Jesus always teaching on love, this really doesn't seem too far-stretched, right? Because all of a sudden, Jesus says, I love you, I died for you, all these things. I can't imagine you go, but I don't want to be your friend. No, of course he wants to be our friend. He wants to know us personally. And he says, I want you to be there for me as well. But that's an example that's really hard to follow sometimes because we're making friendship with God. So what does it look like to be friends with each other, though? And Paul has a great example. So we're going to turn over to Romans 1:8-17. Romans 1:8-17, that's on page 767. Romans 1:8-17. It says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So we see Paul starts out with a heartfelt message. He says, first thing I have to say is this: thank God through his son Jesus for all of you. Paul is recognizing that these people and the bond that he has with them is so special. It's such a blessing that Paul can easily recognize that these people are a blessing from God to him. And it's not just the way that they've connected with Paul, but because of how amazing they are as people and followers of Christ. Because in the next line he writes, it's because of your faith. It's been reported all over the world. Everyone is talking about how you guys have accepted Jesus and you want to tell everybody. And you may be thinking, wow, that's awesome that Paul has these perfect friends that he loves. And we may be saying, man, I wish I had some friends like that. My friends, well, I love them, but man, they can be a lot of work. And you know what I'm talking about. And if you're saying, I don't have any friends like that, you may be that friend. But the truth is, we all have some major struggles. Paul's friends here, they're people as well. He wasn't focusing on the struggles that they have. He was focusing on the fact that they love Jesus, that they want to follow him, that they want to do the work, and he wants to work with them. That's not what this is about. This letter is not to point out, well, you're failing here and here. Well, I need you to step it up here and here. He's flat out going, I love how much you love Jesus. And that just spurs me on. That gets me ready. Everything we say and do, it's going to glorify God. And here we see Paul wants to strengthen these Christians in Rome. He talks about how they're in his prayers all the time. And he's praying that God makes a way for him to come out to Rome. And you may be asking, why does he want to go? Why does he want to go out to this place? What's it for? Was it just to hang out? Well, they seem like cool people. You know, I always wanted to visit Rome. Let's go check this out. Is he saying, well, we need to just sit down and talk about all of our struggles? Is he flat out saying, well, I want you to show me a good time. Maybe we'll play some games and have some fun. Sure, those things can happen, but that's not his reason. He flat out says in verse 12, it's for this reason. It's so that they can mutually encourage each other in their faith. When we are being sent to our friends, when God says, who will go in my name? And we say, here am I, send me. We think it always has to go to the non-Christian. Well, I have to convert my friends. I need to turn them into Christians. And sure, we are supposed to talk to those people and tell them about Christ. And we want to keep telling them about the hope and truth that we have in God. But I have to tell you this. You can also be sent to other Christians. And it's to encourage one another. And this is because we are meant to be in community with one another. It truly is this amazing experience where you can build each other up. You're encouraging one another to keep following Christ in your everyday, and this truly will spur each other on to do amazing things for God. I know personally, I have people in my life that keep me going. My friends that say, you're doing great. Well, what about this? How can we serve here? What else can we do to show God to others? And it's amazing. But I have to be honest with you guys, as a minister, Many people do not understand the inner turmoil that a minister goes through. The questions that I have, am I doing this right? Am I being effective? Am I teaching, preaching, and giving the word of God effectively? It's a hard place to be in, and many don't understand it. But funny story, this last week of camp at Kentucky Christian University, one of the professors there, his name is Dr. Rob Schoaf, S-H-O-A-F-F, Schoaf. Every time I see him, I smile. I love this guy. He has been here to preach before, and it's amazing. I love to hear him speak. I love to hear him teach, but mostly, I love his heart. He is someone that I actually look up to, but I can also feel his genuine love for Christ and people. The very last morning, on Friday, Dr. Schoaf, he was the speaker giving the sermon. As he started to teach and preach, he said a lot of the same things that I have taught the students throughout the week. And then he started his message. And you wouldn't believe it. He started with Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. And his whole purpose of his sermon was, here am I, send me. Out of all the things he could have been teaching and preaching, he was teaching the exact same thing that I am teaching right now at this church. I was blown away. And I just said, thank you, God, for this friend. Thank you for this encouragement to say, yes, keep going. You're doing great things. And then after, I went up to Dr. Schoaf and I hugged him. And I said, thank you. Thank you for what you do. I look up to you and I think you're awesome and amazing, and your heart is for God. And if you're teaching this, it was God reiterating, John, you're doing great. And he hugged me. And I'm not going to lie to you. A little tear came down. I'm going to tell you, I love that dude. I really do. He is my friend and brother in Christ. But this is why God made friends. He could have easily said to us, no, don't connect with anyone here. All you need is me. You don't need to even talk to other people because people will drag you down. And sometimes that's true. People can drag us down. But God didn't design it that way. God designed it the opposite in us. He designed us to be in community. He designed us to love one another. He designed us to help one another. And we see Paul is experiencing this with the church in Rome. So after Paul addresses the church, he also says that he wants to work with his friends on doing what? Sharing the good news of Jesus. Verse 14, I'm not just coming for you guys though. Yeah, we're going to connect and we're going to work together. We're going to encourage each other. But what we're going to do is we're going to go all throughout Rome and we're going to teach and preach to the Greeks, the non-Greeks, the wise, the foolish. If you don't understand what Paul's saying here, he's flat out saying this is for everyone. He wants everyone to join the family of God, but he wants to do it with his friends in Christ. He wants to do it together. It's 2,000 years later since this was written. And this is what we do right here as well. The purpose of the church is to glorify God, to show the world who he is, how amazing and good he is. But it starts with the individual here. We have to start building relationships with one another. You need to connect with people that are following Christ to encourage you, to spur you on. If you find yourself not connecting with anybody in this building, if you find yourself sprinting for the door after Sunday service, or that you choose to watch online so you don't have to talk to people, I'm going to say to you, you're missing a beautiful piece of here am I, send me. Because we are to be sent to our friends to strengthen each other, to love one another, to share in each other's burdens. And to be honest, doing life and church with friends, it can be super fun. It can be super fun. There's a lot of laughter that comes, a lot of peace, a lot of love. And when you fall down, someone is there to help you up, not beat you down. This last week, I was able to serve with some of my friends at Summer in the Sun. I'm going to tell you, it was exhausting. It was about 16 hours a day. And then you'd go to bed about 1, 2 in the morning, and you get back up and do it again. And I'm going to tell you, I slept on a board. Literally. Someone asked me in the morning, well, why aren't you jumping around for the morning session? I'm like, you're lucky I can move. Welcome to 40. But it's one of those things where it was so exhausting. It was hot. I don't know what's going on in Kentucky. I don't really know why God turned it into an oven. But it was an oven 24/7 there. We decided to have one of our services outside. It was 9:30 at night. I still think it was 110 and there was no sun. I don't know what was going on. We were all so annoyed. If you don't know this, teenagers can be annoying. Sorry. She was in my group all week. Not you. I love you, Jazz. But students, they can grate on your nerves, and they start getting on each other's nerves, and you start having to take care of things that you're like, why are we dealing with this? There were things that happened that were not fun at all. They were hard conversations that we had to have, things that were happening that were not good. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would not have changed who I did this with. These leaders that came to Summer in the Sun, I hold near and dear to my heart. And it's just as Paul did. God is saying this to all of us. Who will go in my name? And I'm going to tell you, me and my friends that serve here, we banded together and we said, here am I, send me. And since we did it together, we were mutually encouraging to one another, and it truly is a life-changing experience. And so I want to encourage you, if you don't have a friend that comes to Buckeye, make one. I say it all the time, a stranger is just a friend you haven't met yet. Build each other up, love one another, and be together. This is what brings me to the challenge for this week. We are called to love all of our friends, those who are far from Christ and those who are in the family of Christ. This week, I want you to love them as Jesus loves us. Share with them. Move your own issues aside to be with them. Talk to them about God, but most importantly, be there for one another. God made us to be in community, and God made us to have friendships. They're to help you. Use them to love God.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.